I came down the steps at this to catch the train home, and there's a young woman there sweeping up. And I said, "Excuse me, I know you don't have a very glamorous job, but I want to tell you thank you for making my world a clean place." I thought she was going to cry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said to her, "I really appreciate what you're doing."
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I just immediately turned and left because I don't want anything more from her than to say to her, "Thank you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I view the world. And if we all, as I say occasionally, we all have the same blood in us from the same mother. So we are all sisters and brothers, and some sisters I want to be more intimate with than others, but that's beside the point.
I
try and deal with this world as I would have this world deal with me. So the last part of my story today is that I went to Nanaimo on Tuesday and bought a motorhome.
Whoa, very nice.
I am so scared that I have gone to Nanaimo, up all the way up the Campbell River and bought a motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to go across BC and hopefully next summer across Canada and collect poems from seniors.
Mm.
Now, I'm sure Charlotte will support me. I got Simon Fraser University supporting me. I think I have 411 supporting me, at least emotionally. And I'm now going to go get Canada Council to see if they'll give me a grant, and because I want to put together a book called The Wisdom of Seniors in Canada. So you'll see in the chat, I put my email address and said, send me your most favorite one. I only want one poem, but send me your most favorite poem and a short bio to ncr223@gmail.com.
Okay, we'll say that again more slowly for the people that just listen to our podcast. The email to send their poem and bio.
Okay, I want a short bio and your one favorite poem to ncr223@gmail.com. Neil C. Ryan at, and there's my birthday, 223, February 23rd. So it's, I didn't need to put the 1940 that I was born. I just needed to put the date so you could identify me.
And is that the person's favorite poem that they've written or a favorite poem from anywhere
that they like?
Oh, that's a really good question. I meant the your favorite poem that you have written.
Victor, of course.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Charlotte. I don't want to get a poem from Robert Louis Stevenson. I want to get a poem from you, which is why I want the bio with it, is so I can just put 2-3 lines of a bio. That's all.
That would be nice. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. So
I have three poems today. They're all very short. One of the things I didn't mention is that I speak Chinese quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I'm mildly fluent in Chinese. I can carry on a short conversation. When I do business in China, I have a translator because I don't trust myself, and I use my translator when I do business there. But this is a poem. Meng Haoren was a poet in the 14th century, near the end of the Tang Dynasty, who was famous for writing poems of the natural world. And when I read this poem in at a collection in Richmond 2 years ago now, all the people from China, and there were many, 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 many people in the audience that were from China, they knew this poem. So it's a very famous poem in Chinese. And it's called Spring Morning in Chinese. So I'm going to read that poem to you when it's time. And then I will read the translation, which is only four lines. And then I would like to read my poem called Easter Parade, which is my response to a poet from the 14th century. And I thought that would really be actually quite beautiful to be talking to a poet from 500 years ago, 600 years ago.
Yes, we can get in the time capsule. And yes, as we are saying good morning again to the people listening on Suluau, Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, what you've heard, we're celebrating Asian Heritage Month, and through different ways, through poetry, through essays, through just our lives here, how in this country, the thing that Neil just mentioned, being able to just have a recognition that many people have contributed. There are people that helped build the railroads, people who helped build the buildings, people who've taught, people who've painted, and having a recognition of respect and just the willingness to say, I respect what you do. I thank you for what you're doing. But whether it's building the SkyTrain or sweeping the steps that lead down into the SkyTrain, that's one of the things that I think these Heritage Months help us to do, so that we do get an appreciation of how all many hands have come together to build this country and are still reaching forward to make it greater and stronger, where people don't feel discriminated against or ostracized because they show and demonstrate their culture. And some things are so excited that people of other cultures love to hear the poems that were written by others. People love to hear things that are written by English poets, dub poets, Hispanic poets, Asian poets. So I thank you. And we're going to hear some music. What we're going to do for a minute is Qigong. We talked about when we sit and do these long sessions, our bodies get stiff. So thinking first of our hands, let's just hit the heels. If you put your heels of your hands under your face, like you're embracing your face, but then take them away and let's tap, 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 and feel the energy going down into your shoulders. Ah, just tapping, releasing as your fingers are flying, all those things that are just worrisome. We're just stirring them up and sending them somewhere else. And now, with your hands, because again, we're talking of unity, but a lot the unity with our hands. Just slip your fingers down to the end of each finger, and then let's touch them, then bring your hands forward. So each finger is touching another finger, and just gently tap, tap. Ooh, got a chill down my spine. Tap the tips of your fingers. How does that make anybody feel when you're tapping the tips of your fingers?
I feel it in my spine as well.
Yes. Okay, now we're going to reach around, because everybody needs a hug at some time. We're going to hug ourselves, bring your arms, your hands up on your shoulders, and just squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Bring it up closer to your neck and just rotate your fingers. Ah, such a loving. See, we can see ourselves. Those of you who are listening can't see yourselves, but we can see ourselves on the on the screen. And everybody's smiling, feeling this virtual hug, which we're sending to you, a virtual hug, as everybody embraces their heritage and the respect and love of heritage of people everywhere that's coming to Canada, and right at this time, the Asian heritage. So now Neil has a couple of poems that he's going to read.
Yes, I do. This one in Chinese is called Chun Xiao. And that translates into a spring morning. Chun mian bu chu xiao. Chu chu wen qi niao. Yi lai pen yu xian. Kua lao xi dao xiao. the translation. I awake from sleep this morning of spring. Everywhere around I hear the tweeting of birds. I remember the night brings the sound of wind and rain, and I wonder how many blossoms have fallen. Meng Hao Huan was a poet in the 14th century, just at the end of the Tang Dynasty.
I'll say his name again.
Meng Hao Huan is MENGHAL-RAM. RAN is in Neil. Chun Miao Bu Chu Xiao. Chu Chu Wen Ti Miao. Ye Li Feng Yi Yu Shan. Hua Hao Zhu Shi Tao Xiao. I love language, and I love the rhythm that he has in there. I think it was what attracted me to read this poem at the Chinese festival in Richmond at the library there. And my reply to him is called Easter Parade. I sit among four cherry blossom trees, intermittently releasing petals that fall like large snowflakes, covering the terrace in a pink-tinted blanket. In my hand, I hold the ubiquitous yellow dandelion. Full and bright in the sunshine, its intensity begins to fade as I lay it among the spine of my open book. Somewhere behind me, a white-capped chickadee beeps out his value as he seeks a mate. The DNA imperative, meaning he know not else to do. Drops of rain interrupt my blissful Eden, causing me to seek shelter among the pine trees. And as the rain quickens, it briefly turns to hail, with lightning and distant thunder joining the audacious clouds that interrupt the sun's task to renew and replenish. Thus Mother Earth announces her change of dress. This has been the Earth's ritual repeatedly for millenniums. This is Mother Earth at her repeating perfection. Spring is here, and life is renewed once more.
It's beautiful.
Yes, beautiful, Neil.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was phenomenal how something written 500 years ago inspired you to write something that was very contemporary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the other things when sometimes, you know, I've done poetry workshops, getting people to write poems, and they said, but I can't rhyme. But, you know, poetry doesn't have to rhyme. Yours, you can spend more time wasting on trying to get the words rhyming than the meaning. So I think what you demonstrate in yours is getting the meaning out, the feeling tone,
I focus on the emotion of the experience, not on the how can I make the words rhyme. So my brother, before he passed, he said, you don't write poetry, nothing rhymes.
Oh, yes. I've had people tell me that. Well, I don't understand. You say you write poetry, but it doesn't rhyme. But then in turning the key to unlock for people to write poems, people are always so delighted at what they write when you sit down and just say, let flow what's on your heart. Let your emotions flow. And then they say, I wrote a poem. So thank you, Neil, for writing such a moving poem.
You see, someone else bring something. I went to public school with Baba Yushika.
That's my mother's name.
And I never knew anything about the war and all this stuff, but I was living in Toronto at that time. Mm-hmm. So he was just a shy young boy who was a good baseball player because he was my catcher.
Yeah, we're everywhere. It's lovely. I'm wondering, does anyone else have to offer?
Leslie, you're fluent in Japanese.
Well, not fluent, no. I'm actually illiterate also. That's a long story. So, I actually did study Japanese for 2 years, never learned to read and write, and went to Japan for a month. I'm actually currently writing a memoir about that trip. I'm just wondering if I could read some haiku that I wrote. Mm-hmm. Yes. That I've put into my memoir. I'm just trying to find them. When we were there, we stayed with a friend that she taught English in Japan. She was a Japanese lady. And we met her in Canada, and she invited us back to stay with her. And we stayed with her in a small town called Tateyama, which is northeast of Tokyo. And she introduced us to many facets of Japanese culture. And she took us to, it was sort of a nature reserve called, was called Nambo Paradise. And it had a butterfly garden, it had birds, it had it had greenhouses with tropical plants in it. It was absolutely lovely. And I was sort of inspired to write some haikus when I came out of there, based on things that I saw there. Clear loquat jelly, souvenir store sample, tastes like papaya. Baby marmosets, tiny hands and shining eyes, adorably cute. Searching for honey. Brilliant scarlet inco birds perch on my hands. I dream of nature, images swirling like wings, butterfly magic.
Thank you.
I love butterfly magic.
Thank you for taking us to that garden.
You know, we are really one world. I remember I speak a little bit of Polish, and I was in an airport in China, and a Polish guy and I found using our broken English and broken Polish, we found where we needed to go to find our exit. And so we are one world. We are one people.
Yeah. I had an experience living with a family in Greece, and the daughter spoke English, but she worked during the day, and I was there with the mother, and she got a magazine. And from the magazine, saying things, we got common language. You know, she would tell me what the word was in Greek, and I would tell her what it was in English. And by the end of the week, we really could have a conversation going just around pictures, you know. So just that environment, as Leslie showed, the environment of being in a garden, it just spun off so many beautiful little haikus.
What a beautiful idea. Use picture.
Yes. Would there be time to read one that I wrote about mothers?
Yes.
Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. It's called Tell Your Mother. It's 7 o'clock. The daylight is fading as I hurriedly walk with my cart towards the Canada Line station to Richmond. I'm running late. By now, Mother will be fretting as usual, with possible catastrophic reasons for my delay running through her head. I take a seat beside a woman at the front of the crowded train. As I quickly settle beside her, I notice that she's masked, has a ponytail, and is clutching 2 small bouquets of delicate flowers, purple freesias and blue hyacinths. I comment on their beauty and freshness. Her eyes smile. They're from Whole Foods, she says. We get off at the terminus station across the street from the Richmond Center Mall. Its entrance, which I usually pass through, has closed at 8 o'clock. I'm a little disoriented in the darkness in deciding a detour around the mall to my mom's place. My former seatmate notices and offers to show me the way en route to her own home a few blocks away from my destination. "Where are you going?" she asks. "I'm going to stay overnight with my 97-year-old mother to keep her company. She lives alone in her two-bedroom condo over there." I point. "Wow," she says. "How is her health?" "Not so good right now. She had a bad accident 2 weeks ago. She walked 4.5 blocks to City Hall. After paying her water bill, she tripped going down some steps when the casters on her walker locked. She landed face first on the cement. The impact was so strong, she had to pry her glasses from her face. The pain from the multiple bruises and bumps on her head and body, the sudden shock of it all dazed her. She was afraid she was a goner. No one was around, so she managed to pick herself up and walk all the way back home. She's always been a feisty woman. Oh, your poor mother. Her eyes show concern. "I'm curious about your accent. Where are you from?" I ask. "I'm Japanese-Canadian, third generation." "I'm from Russia," she says. Immediately, I wonder if my question may have been intrusive. I'd heard there are Russians who don't want to admit their ethnicity during these sensitive times. So I ask, "Do you have a mother?" "Yes, a wonderful mother in my country. I am so lucky. I have a wonderful husband, too. He brings me flowers all the time." "Are you a mother?" I ask. "Yes, my son is 10 years old." "Isn't he lucky to have a mother like you?" We're walking in the customer parking area of the mall where our paths will diverge. Standing under a bright lamp in an otherwise dimly lit area, I'm able to see her blue eyes and the crow's feet evident at the corners above the mask. Her shining gaze is so direct and loving. "You have such beautiful eyes," I say. "You tell your mother she did a good job with you." She's taken aback and gives me a warm hug. We are reluctant to say goodbye. "I hope we meet again," she says. Then gently, "I have a gift for your mother. I only needed one bunch, but I got two. I guess these were meant for her. Tell her to get better soon." It's my turn to feel surprised. We hug again as she hands me the purple freesias. "You tell your mother she did a good job with you."
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Lovely. Yeah.
It just demonstrates how stories give us such a feeling of culture and attitudes, and also opportunities to show acts of human kindness. At this time, people, mean speech has gotten such a place that there are companies now mm-hmm. using the hashtag human kindness. And so if you have a story, a poem, or anything, and you share it and you put that hashtag, more people who are looking to hear and express themselves kindly. So your story, we are hashtagging human kindness. But thank you for sharing that. Thank you, each of you, for sharing. And it's just a wonderful example of how looking at heritage doesn't make us apart. It gives us more ways to see how we're together and see other ways that we can just make ourselves feel good on an afternoon or a morning, learning about specific cultures, but also learning about how things written by somebody in one culture might have influence somebody else in another. And no, I'm not trying to talk.
Charlie, can you tell our audience how to get on Spin? I have four poems and at least two short stories on CFRO. Wrong station. CSFF? SF? West Simon Fraser University. What's their radio station?
Okay, it's CJSF. .ca.
DJ Simon Fraser. Yes.
Yes.
How do I get on Spin?
Oh, you just like you go into the internet to type in something, you just, after the HTTP, you put CJSF.ca, and that takes you right to the website.
Okay.
And then on my show, the 10 a.m. Salua show, you just click listen live. So you can start at any time. When you go to the station, there's a little place over to the right that says listen live. So you could join in a little before this program begins, and you can continue on, because after Suluau is always Democracy Now! That lets you know all over the world what issues there are that you can act upon. But yes, just there's another way I'll put in the chat to listen to all of the different times that our show has been played into, our Powered by Age has been played. You just go to cjsf.ca/contents/SISTAC. And then there'll be a listing of all of the shows and a link where you can listen to all of the shows for the year.
SISTAC,
like Sister C. SISTAC.
Yes. Gee, I wouldn't know who Sister C is.
Yes. I'm Sister C. Okay, well, thank you again. We will see you again next week at 1 o'clock. And next week, we have a special guest. We have Greta, one of the curators for the Museum of Anthropology at UBC. There's a new exhibition from Mexico there. It is for people who want to see the way artists have made images, ways that they have encouraged people to protest things. It's a beautiful exhibition opening tonight. And next week, we're going to have one of the curators as our special guest. So I will see you again. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you.
Well, it's that time again. We've come to the end of Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, where you have heard a wonderful discussion held by the Powered by Age podcast team talking about Asian Heritage Month and the value of learning and knowing more about all of the culture, all of the traditions, different religious practices of the people that make up Canada. You know, no matter what time it is, when people ask me what time it is, I say it is always love time, poem time.
Love time. Poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby.